This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
I'm Sumi Somaskandar from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America's role as a world's leading superpower. The job of U.S. president is one which has great impact beyond its own borders. But Donald Trump and Kamala Harris have very different ideas about the role of the U.S. abroad. What is America's place in the world today? And how would Trump and Harris shape that role? The Global Story. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Across Northern Ireland, on your radio and on BBC Sounds. This is
The Stephen Nolan Show!
Hello there. We really appreciate you downloading this podcast from the BBC. And don't forget, we're here fighting for you every day of the week. If you want to contact us, nolan@bbc.co.uk. I hope you enjoy today's podcast.
The Stephen Nolan Show!
Good morning. A local business today being driven out of local business by Mid Antrim Council. Why is the question? After two decades of doing business, the Camphunnock Family Fun Zone will be opening its gates for what could be the final time this weekend. This is after a representative from Mid and East Antrim Council told the owners just last week that their lease with them would not be renewed. Now, the council have claimed health and safety concerns arising from a proposed redevelopment nearby the site is being one of the issues. But this father and son run business was told it had 6 months to vacate the land which the park operates out of. A park which the family claim they've invested nearly £500,000 into over the years and cater to tens of thousands of guests each year. So what is going on? Well, let's speak to the park owner and operator, Ian Locke. Good morning to you, Ian.
Good morning.
Good morning. And your son, Chris, is with you as well. Good morning to you, Chris.
Hi, Stephen.
So talk me through this, Ian. Where does this start, first of all? Tell us how long you've been there and what you do on that site.
We have been here 22 years. It started off with a miniature railway and a bouncy castle. And over the last 20-odd years, we have added to it each year. We now have a train, an 18-hole mini golf, a bouncy castle, a carousel, walk-on water balls, remote-controlled boats, remote-controlled trucks, and bungee trampolines. So we have quite a range of family activities.
And talk me through the years, what it's been like. I'm sure there's ups and downs like any business.
Like, we're very weather dependent, but we've had so many loyal customers. The people this week have been coming in saying, you know, they came here as children, and now they're bringing their own children, and grandparents are bringing their generations through the years. It started off when I got it first. There was a miniature railway with a wire fence around it, and a bouncy castle with a wind cheater, and that was it. And as I said, we have developed it over the years.
So when did you first hear about something that could be driving you out?
We were called to a meeting last Thursday at 11 o'clock. Christopher and I thought, obviously, it's just to do with the redevelopment of the park to tell us when work was starting and, you know, and it's out to contractor, who the contractor was going to be. But then they set us down two bits of paper to say that our lease was being terminated.
Last Thursday?
Our lease is up until the end of December. And they said our lease was being terminated and we had 6 months to vacate the premises.
And that's the first time you found out that you were out, is that right?
Yes, last Thursday at 11 o'clock.
How's that feel?
Devastating. My son has been he's been a wreck the whole this last week. And he's a top grade rugby referee, and it totally affected him over the weekend. He came out of the meeting and in front of me, and he was on his knees on the ground crying his eyes out. And I went back into the meeting and had a few words with the councillors, but they didn't seem to. It didn't seem to affect them at all.
Well, Chris, you can speak for yourself. How does it feel?
It was absolutely heartbreaking to have this business in our family over the years, and to bring so much joy to people. It was just overwhelming, the support that we've received. We put a post up on Friday morning, and it's been seen by over 400,000 people with 2,000 comments, and just every single comment is just devastating, heartbreaking. We love this place. It just brings so much joy to their family and their friends, even people bringing people over from England, from GB. It's just overwhelming, the support that we received. So it was just so shocking to get that news last Thursday.
We've been in touch with all the political parties who are on that council, and there's something quite curious. Not one of them want to come on. Not one of them want to speak publicly about this. So a family business, 20 years on that site. You look at all the political parties on that council. None of them want to publicly speak about what's happening.
Mm-hmm. We think there's a almost like a hidden agenda within the council. They've seen that we are a successful business over the years. We've built up a successful following. And we think that they're just coming in to run the whole park as one entity. And this is their way of getting us out so that they can run it like a Butlins or something similar to that.
Now, you said that you found out last Thursday that you were being driven, that they were ending your lease. You've been in touch with the council you've been talking to them for 6 months. So how does that add up that you're saying you've only been told last Thursday that you're out? What have they been saying to you over the last 6 months?
We weren't told anything at all about the lease being ended there and then. I actually have an email from the 21st of June from the head of Parks and Open Space stating that your business operates outside the works boundary and therefore it would be your call regarding operations in 2025. So we had every intention.
Correct, when did they send that to you?
Friday the 21st of June.
Is that how they treat business in Northern Ireland? Is that how you treat Mid-Antrim Council business? You tell them in June, don't worry, it's up to you. And then come September, you're out?
Just looks like it.
At the bottom of the email, it says as well, if your decision was to operate, we can progress with the lease agreement as per previous years, including the fee as it stands. If you decide not to operate, there would be no charge for the forthcoming season.
So they give you this. I've got this email in front of me. I'll read it all in a moment. I said, by the way, a matter of moments ago about all of these political parties. Actually, the DUP, Gordon Lyons, has spoken to us. And what Gordon's been doing is he is saying that he's concerned about this. What this means for the business and the family. And Minister Lyons, he's the Communities Minister, Gordon has said that he's asked for a meeting with council officials to discuss your family case. So that's the DUP fighting for answers for you. We've been across all the other political parties, and I'm just curious as to what is going on here. So the email that Mid-Antrim Council, and by the way, we want to know what all the different councillors that sit in Mid-Antrim Council actually think about this. Those individuals who rap your door and ask for a vote. So here's what they did. Here's what Mid-Antrim Council did in June, 21st of June, 2024. Many thanks for meeting with me last week, they said to you and your family. It is anticipated that work will start at Kirkfonnock in winter 2024, and therefore council will not be operating on site in summer 2025. As you know, your business operates outside the works boundary, and therefore it would be your call with regards to operations in 2025. The current toilet provision will not be accessible during the works. However, these facilities are available at Drains Bay. You would, of course, be welcome to hire in toilet provision for your staff and customers. However, you should consider accessible provision if doing so. If your decision was to operate, we can progress the lease agreement as per previous years, including the fee as it stands. If you decide not to operate, there would be no charge for the season. Can you get back to me when you've had opportunity to consider the business implications, and I will alert our legal and asset team to consider lease agreements required accordingly. If your decision was to operate, we can progress the lease agreement. So everybody should know, within Mid and East Antrim Council, if you're thinking of setting up business in that borough, here's what they do to you if they continue what they've done to this family. They tell you in June, in 21st of June, they tell you you can go on with your lease. It's up to you. And come September, they tell you you're out. What type of business would set up with a council behaving like that and take the risk of employing people? And where are all of these other political parties in that borough council?
Could I just say one comment there? We have a rota of 19 students who use this as work experience and money for to get them over the summer. And we employ up to 12 people every on a good day, so they'll be losing their jobs. With one parent whose daughter worked here last year, and says, "Thank you so much for employing my daughter. She worked there for 3 years, enjoyed every minute of it, and the money she earned enabled her to go through university, and she has now had a job in film industry."
Now, the public statement to the BBC from Mid and East Antrim Council were keen to work with the owners to find an alternative site for the family fun zone. Was that part of the conversation last week?
They offered us an alternative location, but it was the Larne Town Park, which simply wouldn't accommodate our just what we need in size and infrastructure and security as well.
See, where my mind goes here is, what's their intention with the site you're on? They must have discussed that.
Nope.
You know, this ground isn't disappearing. I know they haven't discussed it with you. I know that.
Yeah.
What do they intend to do with that space?
Well,
quite interesting, isn't it? They've got a business that's, my goodness, you think of all the businesses that are closing down. So Mid and East Antrim Council, they call you in, they tell you you're gone. 3 months after telling you you can continue with the lease, it's up to you. Wonder what they're going to do with that piece of ground they're asking you to leave now. Wonder if any councillors in Mid and East Antrim Council have asked that question. I wonder, do they know? I wonder, bar the DUP, what's going on?
Could I just interrupt? Roy Beggs from the Ulster Unionists has made inquiries and is trying to arrange a meeting for us. That's the only other person that has contacted us.
Well, we contacted the Ulster Unionist Party. We give them an opportunity to speak publicly about this. They've chosen not to do so this morning. And look, what you need is you need as much public discussion around this to find answers to this as possible. That's what you need. What is going on? Mid and East Antrim Council tell us council is legally obliged to consider all aspects of health and safety while the construction work is ongoing, and has concluded that the site should not remain open during the extensive redevelopment project. The lease for Family Fun Zone has therefore not been renewed. So again, I get curious. I think to myself, okay, well, look, there might be health and safety concerns. So has the council sat down with you two and said, look, health and safety concerns, we can't let you run your business for X number of months, but let's start discussing a new lease. Let's start discussing your business continuing after the health and safety concerns go. Any conversation around that?
No, none at all. I asked for the on what rules, what health and safety rules they terminate our lease, and we haven't received anything back regarding that as well.
We are at least 100 yards away from any construction work.
It's interesting.
At least 100 yards.
But they would have known, of course, when they brought you in June, right? But when they were, like, I've got the email here. But they knew the work was going on. They knew that the council wouldn't be operating on the site until summer 2025, and they wrote to you, and they were talking to you about even hiring toilet provision. Is this what these councillors do to a local business? You've got to start planning for toilets. You've got to start planning. You're given the heads up. Look, you can continue to operate. Is this what they do to people that are trying to run businesses?
It looks like what they're doing that to us, definitely.
Are you getting a... Look, and business is tough these days, right? I get it. I run one myself. I get it. Are you getting a cheap rent to the extent that they want you off that site so that they can put you and others through a bidding process and then they get more revenue? Is that what's going on here?
There was one of the councillors mentioned that a audit took place last year or the year before, where a guy came in from England and basically wanted a review of all tenancies and all tender processes. We would be happy enough, or we appreciate that the process hasn't been streamlined with other parts of the United Kingdom, and maybe there a review was needed there, but it's just the way it's been dealt with. Previous to 2001, we just had a 5-year rolling lease with the council, like a verbal agreement. We were just happy enough to stay on site. They were happy enough to have us. And then that all changed just after COVID, where it went down to a 2-year lease, starting in January 21. So this would be the second set of 2 years. So just coming out of COVID year, not having the guarantee of being there for more than 2 years, it was a big, massive shock to us as well. It does look like they do want a bidding process and somebody else to potentially come in and run the place.
I want the public also to know what Mid and East Antrim Borough Council, and by the way, your local political parties form this council. So this is not some type of abstract administrative body. Your political parties who you vote for in Northern Ireland sit on this council. So I want to give you an example of how they've interacted with the Nolan Show and the BBC. And we're long in the tooth in this game. So they say to us when we're inquiring about this, they present it to you, the public, like this. Council had made the owners aware over the past 12 months that the development would impact their operations. Council subsequently met with the owners on the 19th of September to advise of the intention not to renew the lease. Now, you would get the impression from that public statement from Mid and East Antrim Council. We gave this company the heads up, and then, look, having given them the heads up, we said the lease isn't being renewed. What Mid and East Antrim Council are conveniently forgetting to put into that public statement is the email sent to this family on the 21st of June. Quote, you'd be welcome to hire toilet provision for your staff during these works. If it's your decision to operate, we can progress the lease agreement. Mid and East Antrim Council, you just forgot to tell the public that when you were presenting your version like this, did you? And to all the political parties that sit on that council, are you happy with how that council has presented this to the public this morning? They've forgotten to tell the public that that email told this family, if you decide to operate, we can progress the lease agreement. Is that how Mid and East Antrim Council treat local business? And would you go anywhere near them if you were thinking of setting up, given what's happened to this family, if it is not investigated? Why did they tell them in June that they had the option to continue with a lease? You've got 6 months now to get out, Ian, if this continues. What does that actually physically mean in terms of infrastructure and lifting your infrastructure off that site?
Totally impossible. The miniature railway is like...
It's what, sorry? Are you okay?
Yeah, sorry. Just, sorry, I was just going to say the miniature railway is like a jigsaw puzzle. It has to go down the exact same because of the bends and the straights. And the starts off with a circle, which is in 45 degrees, going round, and then a straight, and then other bends. That cannot just be lifted. That has to be lifted and put somewhere else in the exact same. And the measurements on it are nowhere near. It wouldn't fit into Town Park alone. Because even if that went into the green in the middle of Town Park, it would have to be fenced off totally round the outside, because anybody could run in front of the train. And how do you lift an 18-hole mini golf and put it down somewhere else? It's impossible to do. We could not move our structure and put it somewhere else.
Well, you've got 6 months to do it.
It's impossible to do. You could not even build the two things anywhere in 6 months. What I might say, the council have had the money for this project since January last year, coming up in 2 years, and as far as we know, it's not out to contract yet.
The planning permission still hasn't gone through.
Yep.
What are you going to do, Chris?
Not entirely sure. It's been a very tough, especially the last week, it was especially tough 48 hours. It's just hard trying to find or trying to grasp my decision of what I'm going to do after. This is my whole life, business life type thing. My dad's 75. He said publicly in the meeting that this is coming towards his end of his working life. I'm 28. This is start of mine. So I just haven't thought about what I'm going to do. It's just tough to be told that and not have the answer.
Council have also presented this in their statement that they met up with you personally out of courtesy. This was done in person out of courtesy, the meeting on the 19th of September, and to provide support to the owners, is what they're saying. Did you feel supported in that meeting?
No.
Definitely not. Never anything so devastating in my life. just to be put off. As they said, they were only the messengers. And the Towns Park person sat there, and it all came from the legal representative. She read everything out, and they said they're just the messengers.
Well, this has been a decision signed off by council. So this is signed off, presumably, by the councillors, by the political parties who sit on that council. They must have been consulted. They must have signed this off. What's going on?
I think it was done by a subcommittee of the full council. So it wasn't even taken to full council.
Tell you what, stay there. I want to talk more about this, because you will hear, you won't be able to take any month in Northern Ireland where Stormont is not talking about how important small local business is to our economy, to this place. It's about people coming in from outside Northern Ireland and investing here. It's about people here risking their own homes, because when you set up a local business, that's what you're doing. You're borrowing money, and the bank makes you put that borrowing against your home. So you're putting your family at risk to set up a local business. And I want to understand this story more. I want to challenge the political parties this morning about speaking to us about what is going on here. You'll sit on that council. SLP doesn't. The rest of you do. You sit on that council. If there's an explanation for this, then please come on and tell us. If you think you should be fighting for this family, here's your opportunity this morning. But I'll tell you what, this program's going to fight for answers around this. Absolutely fight. And we're going to start with how come the council presents this to the public as that they met up with this family and then subsequently told them that they had to go, forgetting to tell us of the email that they sent to them in June telling them that they could progress the lease agreement. We'll pause there. Stay there. Here comes the news from the BBC. Joe's on the line with us, calling us this morning, 030 30 80 55 55. Morning, Joe.
Good morning, Steve. As a local, as a ratepayer in this council you're referring to, I'm concerned with the evidence you have produced this morning. A couple of minor comments. Does the redevelopment 100 metres away, does this affect the access to this Carphonic amusement site? No, if the redevelopment 100 metres away, are they implying that because of this that it will affect people's getting in and out of the this park? But the most important thing is, Stephen, thanks for bringing it after me on, I know numerous children and families from around the Ballymena and Ballymena area who travel roughly 30 miles to that park because it's such a tremendous attraction. And I mean, I know people in the country, and I know different personalities. And they're fine people, but I do think this is a situation where they have got to get together with the people who own this park, and consider what a facility it is. As the young man says, this they can't lift this site and sit in the park in Larne because there's not adequate space there to do it. But the bottom line is, Steve, this is a very big attraction for people from Collybaggy.
Thank you very much indeed. Can I get into Chris Moore about how many people you employ and how many jobs will be lost here?
So we have a rolling staff of about 20. School, just between 16 and 18 year olds, plus three full time staff, myself, my dad, and an engineer as well. It would be their almost their first job out of school, So it breaks them into the working experience, and they use that money as their first job money, saving up for uni or saving up for going out with their friends type.
And Dad, all of those people will, after next week, or when? When do they all, what happens
this
next?
This weekend will be our last this year. We would normally close at the end of September because of the weather conditions, but that 19 or 20 people will not be able to come back next year. We do have, our staff usually do come back over, usually once they join us, they stay for at least two or three years, going through their A-levels. Thanks.
What are you as a local family? How much will this hit your ability to provide for your family?
We as a Lough family have been serving the borough for 60 years. We had the shop in Ballygally, which was, we had the shop there for nearly 40 years. I had the shop in, with four shops in Larne, one in Main Street, one in McNew Street, one in Craigie Hill, in the housing estate. Everybody knows us. We've served the community for 60 years, our family, between my brother and my two brothers and myself and my mother and father, over the years, I'd say it's coming up in 60 years. So it's we're well known, and I would say respected for what we've done for the community. And this is just a kick in the teeth.
What do you think's going on here?
A person, I mean, said that the council couldn't run it because.
you think they want to set up and run it themselves?
They wouldn't have the ability to do it.
But is that what you think's going on?
We fear that, but I don't think it's possible. With councils having to pay double time on a Sunday and likes of that, it just would not be feasible.
What type of feedback have you had from the public?
We reckon last Sunday there were 1,000 people there last Sunday came down, and the ones coming in just to say thank you and to say that their generations, their grandchildren, they'd come as a child, they're coming now as parents and grandparents. It was very emotional. Quite a few times I just had to walk away. I was in the office at the tree, and I just had to walk away, go outside for a second, because it was so heartwarming. And the people were so grateful. Normally, at this time of year, we might get 200 or 300 people on a Sunday on a good day, but we reckon there's over 1,000 people there on Sunday, just to say thank you.
So the Sinn Féin Party, the Alliance Party, the TUV, and the Ulster Unionist Party. I would like to know publicly what your position is on this, your public statement about this. So this programme have contacted your offices yesterday. So do you support the ending of this lease? Do you support how this family have been treated? Yes or no? TUV, Alliance, and the Ulster Unionist Party. Now, the DUP, they have given a public statement around this. Gordon Lyons, he's a minister, and Gordon's found the time to say he is concerned about this. What about the rest of you? You've told us this morning that Roy Beggs from the Ulster Unionist Party is prepared to ask questions for you. Why no public statement from the UUP? Why wouldn't they provide a public statement for this show this morning as to their position on this? And that applies to the Alliance Party, that applies to Sinn Féin. What do you say finally to the council this morning? What are you asking them, Ian?
What am I asking them? My personal opinion is that the worst thing that ever happened was whenever businessmen stopped being the councillors and politicians started to run councils. They don't have a ability. It's whenever businessmen were the councillors, they ran it as a business. not anymore. It's politics, 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 which is not the answer. That's how I feel.
Your dad has said, Chris, finally, that you've been devastated. This is your final weekend, unless something is done here.
Correct, yeah.
What's in your mind? How does that feel?
I don't know how to put it into words. Like, this is all I've known. I was 6 when Dad took this on. I grew up 2 miles from here. I would have came here as a kid before that. All my friends would have came here as children. Now they're bringing their kids, and then they can't do that anymore. We just want to thank all of our members of staff, all of our friends and family for the support over the years, and especially over the last week. It's been a tough week for us, and we would just like to thank everybody.
Can I ask one thing, just to make sure that I'm doing my job here this morning? What about those who say, look, you know, business is tough, you've made profit over the years, if you have to tender for a new lease, then that's what you should do. It's got to be open, it's got to be competitive, maybe somebody can do better on that site than you. That's business.
Are you going to find anybody that invests £500,000 to reinstate it if we have to take everything away? Put at least £500,000 in to reinstate it again? I doubt it.
So the public have one final chance to come this weekend. Is that it?
Yes, that's correct. It, yeah.
Do you hold out any hope that the political parties might start asking questions here? And you know, the presentation of the council statement is saying that they will try to, you know, we put in a whole list of further questions after that initial statement on the 25th. When was that? 2 days ago. A whole list of further questions. When was the decision made not to extend the lease? By who? Can you confirm that the land which the fun park occupies is not a part of the current redevelopment plans? What other areas of the park will be closed during construction? Exactly when will the redevelopment begin? When's it expected to be completed? What alternative sites have been officially offered to the family? Now, these people are, this is a public body. Every one of them who walk into work in the mornings are paid by taxpayers. And a whole list of questions from us. And the council decided to respond to the public of Northern Ireland from a whole list of questions like this. Council remains committed to working with the owners to find a solution that is agreeable to all parties, full stop. In other words, they ducked every one of those questions sent to them on the 25th of September. It brings me back to, why would they be reluctant to answer them? What is really going on here? Do you believe them? Do you believe them when they say they're committed to working with you? Do you believe them?
No, personally, because we haven't had any contact
since that
meeting last Thursday. If we believe that there had been some sort of working with us, they would have gone contact Monday or Tuesday after the amount of uproar on social media over the weekend.
Well, they knew that we were doing
them.
They knew that we were doing the story this morning. They knew. And to all of those follow-up questions, they give us one sentence. Is that a council committed to business? Does it feel like that to you? Now, Roy Beggs from the Ulster Unionist Party has just phoned us. And Roy, I'm really appreciative. This is what local politics is about. Hearing from local representatives about local issues that affect local people. So, Roy, thank you for contacting us. What is going on here?
I'm still trying to find out what's going on, I have to say. The first I heard of this was when there was a decision by a committee that I'm not on. I understand information came late to that committee. there was a very limited opportunity to discuss it widely or to think everything through. You know, since having a chat with Ian Locke, I mean, Carnfarnock Park is somewhere where I have went to with my family when they're young, and where I and my wife still go occasionally for a walk. We don't enjoy the amusements. We're past that stage, but we would have previously went to the area with our kids. I haven't chatted to Ian, one of the owners. It's quite apparent that everything has not been thought through, and I have spoken to senior officers as well.
What are they saying?
Well, I have asked for an urgent meeting with the chief executive. I've highlighted some difficulties with it. I've also asked the question, which is yet to be answered, is how council goes through a rescinding motion. And I've asked for clarification how this committee has council powers, because that's quite unusual in a decision like this that the committee should have council powers. So I'm trying to go through the process in council to understand what happened. And indeed to resent it. My biggest concern is in forcing the removal of the infrastructure, and as Ian has alluded to, particularly the mini railway track, there is considerable investment involved in even picking it up and taking away anywhere. I am very concerned that if that is forced through, that nothing will return, because who is going to invest the types of money that's involved to do that? I dare say Ian was fortunate too that someone had previously built it, and then he picked the business up and has ran it. And as he has alluded to, he is forced to run a very flexible workforce. It's largely summer orientated when kids are off school, and they're after the weekends only. And I certainly am very concerned that it's easy to force the removal and the closure, but it may not be easy to get anyone back in place. And indeed, there's a concern that they may not even be economical if Ian was forced to remove it, for him to actually come back and place it, even if he owns the material.
So you've said a couple of things where it kind of blows my mind slightly. I don't understand how these subcommittees work. I don't understand it.
Well, it's the main committee. It's not a subcommittee. It's a main committee with half the councillors on it.
So you're telling me that you've been told that that committee was not given the full information, or the decision was rushed, or what? What are you telling me?
Well, I'm saying there was limited opportunities, certainly. There are two Ulster Unionist councillors from the Larne area, myself and Councillor Morrow, and neither of us are on that committee. So the decision, shall I say, didn't have the opportunity to fully consult with those who have a little bit more knowledge of the area from the Ulster Unionist part of view. I'll allow other parties to explain their decision making.
Well, why? Who was on the? So this is a committee that took a decision that you're not on. So who is on it?
It'll be widely available on the council website. Who's on the committee? I don't know.
Right, well, we'll look it up. What were you saying about a lack of information?
I don't think there's been a full understanding from the, or challenge to the officers with their idea and moving this along.
There's a bigger picture thing here.
Yep.
Sorry, go ahead. Finish your sentence.
There should have been a greater challenge to the ideas presented to the officers, question them. But it was certainly a pressure, in my opinion, to have the site ready for City Deal. The entire area has forced the thing on. That's my impression. And I think it's a mistake to have done this so quickly without having full information and having fully thought the thing through and allow others to perhaps challenge ideas that have been floated. So that's where I think it is. And that's why I have requested officers to tell me the process for a rescinding motion to see if that is still possible at this time.
But don't all look, you know, I've said to you, I don't understand how council works, but do all council committee decisions not come before full council for ratification? Is that not what usually happens?
There are delegation of certain powers to different committees. And in the majority of occasion, that makes sense. I'll take, for instance, some of the licensing laws. I understand that largely it will be a legal technicality in deciding that often. And once the council officers have made their assessment, you would be in great risk, great peril if you were to go against a decision. So there are certain powers that are delegated to certain committees. But as I've said to you, I find this quite unusual. And I've actually
and
also
was this
asked,
the Neighbourhoods and Communities Committee?
Right.
Is that what this?
That's what I've been told. Yes. So I have sought. I've actually asked the question. This is
so the chair of that committee is Maeve Donnelly from the Alliance Party. We contacted the Alliance Party about this. Nothing back. Nothing. So Maeve Donnelly, help us understand the decision. You're the chair of the committee. Laurie Philpott. Laurie Philpott is the vice chair of the DUP. Now, Gordon Lyons, who is a minister in our administration here in Northern Ireland, is concerned about this. The bigger picture here, Roy, with all due respect to this family, the bigger picture question here is this. Business owners, entrepreneurs risk their whole family structure to take money, as you know, and invest it in a business, because good businesses sometimes fail. The bigger picture question here is, what do you do with a council who tells a business in June, you can renew your lease to the point where they're talking about and you can get your own toilet provision. In September, tell them their lease is over and then provide a statement to the BBC saying they're working as closely as possible with this family, forgetting to tell us about the email that they sent to this family in June. Who would invest in your council area, Roy Beggs, if that is how business is treated?
I wasn't aware of the earlier email, so it just adds to the pain is all I can think. We need time to try and put this right, and I will be endeavouring, as I say, to go through whatever processes remain in council to make sure the decision that's taken is best for the citizens of the borough. We do have to appreciate that individual families and businesses can be affected and can suffer from council decisions. And but 100%. I cannot take a decision purely based on the interests of a particular owner. We have to look at the wider
100%.
And having assessed this, as I indicated earlier, one of my big concerns is it's easier to force the removal of this infrastructure from that site, but it might be very, very difficult or indeed impossible to get anything back in place without public cost. So I am concerned that everything has not been thought through and that there has not been sufficient challenge to the ideas presented by...
Roy, I just want to double down on the email you haven't seen. And I want to read one part of one sentence from it. This is from the council to this family. It would be your call with regard to operations in 2025. Sent to this family 3 months ago. It'll be your call about operations. Now, some people might say to them, Do never, ever, with any family, with any citizen in this country, don't ever give them a promise that it's their call and then rip it away from them a few months later. And the people who have decided to do this to this family, are they risking their livelihoods to set up business in Northern Ireland? I totally get it that this family should not get special treatment. Of course not. This council, your council, Roy, that you sit on, wrote to this family, it would be your call with regards to operations in 2025. They told them that they could put in their own toilet provisions. They told them that if it was their decision to operate, quote, we can progress the lease agreement. And then they send the BBC a statement forgetting to tell the public that. Like, is that an open and honest and transparent council working for people in that area?
Stephen, all I can say is I will be endeavouring to put things right in the interests of the ratepayers and the users of the park.
Were there any UUP councillors, Roy, on that committee?
Undoubtedly, they would have been. But again,
so what have they done?
I've certainly had a discussion with some of them. The difficulty that.
Sorry, Roy. All right. Roy, are you still there? Okay, Roy seems to have...
Roy is in a remote area. There's not a
okay.
reception.
Okay. Well, look, we've spent an hour on this morning, and I am not apologising for that, Ian. You shouldn't get special treatment. It maybe is the case that you should not have your lease renewed. I don't know. It's not for me to say. But when a public body writes to you telling you it'll be your call to do it, that they will progress, we can progress a lease agreement as per previous years, and they give you that assurance. Now I understand why you feel so let down.
Definitely. We just say that any publicity that has gone out has not been instigated by us. We have not contacted you or any other. A lady customer last week started a petition to save the fun zone. There's been now 5,500 people have signed it since Saturday. But we have not instigated any publicity at all. Just we're putting an email on to say that our lease was not being renewed. That's the only thing we have done. And the reaction has been incredible since that. And it's been heartwarming. The amount of people have said, I went to the shop last night, three people stopped me just to say how sorry they are and hope it gets worked out.
Well, you've got a minister, Gordon Lyons. He's asking questions, saying he's not happy. You've got Roy Begg saying that he's urgently looking at this this morning. Let's see what other political reaction there is. We will be submitting FOI interrogation into this. We will be drilling into the fine detail about who made these decisions, how they made them, and we will be doing that on behalf of the ratepayers of that area, whether they want you to be there or not. Let's just see just how this decision came to light. Listen, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you. The news at 10 is coming up right now. Morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Look, the bread and butter issues in this country is what this programme has been doing for the last couple of decades, and we can only do it through the partnership that we have with you. So if you've got a story, I hope you know that we will fight for you to get answers. And you send that story. It's so important, this, that you remember the email, nolan@bbc.co.uk. I can tell you right now that first story we did about Mid Antrim Council and what's going on there, we will fight for that family to get full answers. We will hold the political parties who voted for it, who supported that decision, accountable. Might be the right decision. We want you to know how it was reached. And we drill into detail. Like, for example, today, there are film crews out for the Nolan Show visiting a family where their child is in real difficulty getting a school place. So we are on these stories and we're fighting for you. And it doesn't work if you don't give us the story in the first place. So the BBC Northern Ireland, the point of this place, the point of the BBC being in Northern Ireland is there is that local connection with you. And then the point of the Nolan Show is that I hope that you get it by now that we know how to prize answers, if that's what's needed, out of these public bodies. And they're not my friends, they're not my enemies, but you need answers and you need accountability and we'll fight for it every single step of the way. Nolan@bbc.co.uk. Those bread and butter issues, one of them that's very much resonating around Belfast at the moment is the traffic and the traffic disruption and how some people just cannot fathom what it's going to be like this Christmas. And then there are bigger picture questions around how much is local business going to suffer in Belfast city centre, given the gridlock that there is now. On those roads that you can see every night, would you come into the city centre to shop at Christmas? What are those shops going to do if enough people say, no, we're not going to? I was in America last week. This programme was dealing with it while I was on holiday. Taylor Johnson went out last week to talk to drivers stuck in the gridlock. Here's what one particularly irate woman had to say.
Just got a quick question about traffic congestion here in the city centre. Quite clearly, you've been stuck for a while. I'm just wondering, in your opinion, is this congestion worse than it's ever been?
Yes, I'm sorry. I am so angry right now. It's hard to speak. Yes, I've been doing this for many years and it's worse than ever. I need to get home.
And how long have you been sitting here now?
It feels like forever, 15, 20 minutes, I'm not too sure. But it's just worse than it's ever been.
So what is the plan? Coming up to Christmas, what is the plan for people coming and going, taking their kids out, shopping, doing all of that? And look, are we all to get on a bus, abandon the car? Is that the instruction? Just all of us, no matter who we're picking up, whether we can do without a car or not, are we just going to be stuck in this traffic gridlock forever? What is the plan? Pat, the taxi driver, regular correspondent with the Nolan Show, give us a sense of what it feels like this week, Pat.
This is absolute chaos, Stephen. I'm actually sitting at the bottom of the Grosvenor Road here. There's three lanes of traffic coming down Hard Street. There's cars trying to get down the Grosvenor. There's cars trying to get down Great Victoria Street. The traffic lights are not in sync. One turns red, the other's green. You can't get moving. Nobody knows what they're doing. Whoever has programmed these new traffic lights and moved them, they've moved the traffic lights up Great Victoria Street and the bottom of the Grosvenor. There's nothing sinking here and you're just stuck and it's causing chaos and it's like a domino effect. It's spreading throughout the city centre. Also, Stephen, they've taken away our taxi ranks and haven't told us anything. These civil servants aren't coming to talk to anybody. They're just doing the things. You know, like you're saying about how can that council close down that Carphonic? And by the way, my grandchildren will go from Belfast up to Carphonic because it's such a good place. These people are taking decisions. The politicians haven't a clue what's going on. They're not in touch with reality. John O'Dowd, health and safety comes into it. If health and safety, where's our taxi ranks? We have no taxi ranks around in Warring Street. People are parking in them, Stephen. It's chaos. So with taxi ranks disappearing now, so 27, I'd love you to do a freedom of information to find out what ranks we had in 2017 compared to now, because Belfast Public Hire, it seems as if they're pushing the taxis out of Belfast and the cars, they don't want the cars. There was a guy on with Mark Simpson last week, Wellesley something, and he said carrot and the stick. As far as I can see, it's a stick and they're beating us all off the road, Stephen.
It's also the coordination. When they sat down looking at the planning of this, so they're telling us that the fact that some of the trains aren't running yet from the new bus station, that they knew that was going to happen, that this was a rolled out plan. So if we take that at face value, they knew that some of the trains wouldn't be on. At the same time, they knew that they were doing major roadworks. And they knew that they were putting bus substitutions on. So if you combine major roadworks with no trains running, what did they expect? Like, how literally did they think people were going to get from A to B? They're going to get into their car.
But customers are having to guess what they're doing, Stephen. There's people walking up the taxi ranks to try and find out where their buses are leaving from, which train station they have to go to. Plus the fact, Stephen, see these bus substitutes? I observed them at the old central station, Lanyon Place. They're not TransLink buses. These are private coaches coming in. So is our taxes paying another company? Like, if that was me and I had a fleet of buses, I would have my TransLink buses ferrying people about, not another company. This is all adding to the money that's already been spent and the overspend. I'd like to find out why they have private coaches ferrying people to Newry or from Lisburn into Belfast. It's madness, Stephen, what's going on here. And they're just... As John O'Dowd wrote a blank cheque to TransLink and to hell with everybody else, because he has no money for anything else and he has no staff to deal with it.
You know, I ran into some people yesterday and they were telling me that they just feel like there is a lack of reality check here in terms of how this is affecting local people. Brian Smith, Green Councillor. Morning to you, Brian.
Good morning, Stephen.
Look, Brian, I know we're going to talk about the Cathedral Quarter as well, but on this, you're a party who unashamedly you're advising people to take public transport. But should that be with the result that people who, you know, their biggest crime is to go out and work and buy a car, that they're sitting now being tortured, sitting waiting, where it doesn't seem like you can move around our city? Like, is it seriously a simple message, get out of your car or else?
No, Stephen, I think Pat's kind of highlighted it. Pat's talking about the Grosvenor Road. I live just off the Ravenhill Road. If I took the car, triangle into the city centre and beyond, that journey's about 10, 15 minutes. It's doubled in the last couple of weeks simply because of the chaos. The problem as well for me on the Ravenhill Road is there's only one bus an hour on the Ravenhill Road. As a party, we want, first and foremost, congestion is caused by too many cars. We've known this. Belfast is one of the most congested cities in the UK. I think I've seen a report a few years ago. It's the second most congested for a small city in Europe.
But and that's important for us to discuss. That's important for us to discuss and do something about. But at the moment, there is a serious problem. And it is chaos.
Absolutely. And I think there's been, and again, Pat's highlighted it, I think there's been a lack of communication here from the Department for Infrastructure. The Department for Infrastructure are tough enough for local councillors to get an answer out of. If I contact them, it's maybe 3 or 4 weeks turnaround even for the most mundane things. So I completely get Pat's frustration. That woman that was interviewed yesterday by one of your reporters, I totally get this because it is chaos at the minute, and the problem is with Belfast. Go ahead.
What I would say to the Department of Infrastructure this morning, and again, all the local leaders in this country, this is being described as frustration. It is not just about frustration. This is about people who have, for example, second jobs. Mm-hmm. But they also have children. So they're picking the kids up from school and they need to be at that second job to start work or else they can't pay the bills.
Absolutely.
This is about kids not standing on their own outside a primary school. This is about mum and dad being able to get there. This is what local government is supposed to be about. And meanwhile, ordinary, decent citizens of this country are feeling chaos. And is anybody going to do anything about it? This is about being able to travel to hospital, to your local doctor, and get home again in time to start work, or get home again to be a carer for someone. This is not just about frustration of sitting on a road. This is about real lives, real people needing to get from A to B within a reasonable period of time. And they're currently sitting in chaos. Absolute chaos.
Is
anybody running this country that would do something about it?
Stephen,
what is going to happen, Brian, at Christmas time? What's going to happen?
Stephen, go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
Stephen, part of the problem is these officials who operate within that Department for Infrastructure bury their head in the sand. Brand said they're about getting in contact with them. I contacted them at the end of May. I contacted them in June. Your show contacted them. I am still waiting on someone to contact me to tell me who's in charge of the taxi ranks in Belfast. Now, people complain they can't get taxis, they can't get home at night. If we haven't got anywhere to ply our trade, or if we're sitting stuck in traffic, nobody's getting anywhere, Stephen. And that's the point. Nobody is communicating with anyone. They don't want to, they'll give you one word answers. They don't even bother.
Well, we haven't been to them this morning about this. So what we should do is we should form a list of questions together and we'll put them into the Department of Infrastructure. Because we deigned to cover the Bobby Storey funeral and on behalf of lots of different people who stayed at home and didn't go to the funeral of their loved ones, the Sinn Féin are trying to punish the Nolan Show and boycott us for years now. I say that in the context of the minister. Is John O'Dowd, so we'll hardly hear from him in this programme, but let's say we get a statement from him on the programme.
But Stephen, we all due respect, John O'Dowd should be replanned because we're ratepayers, we're taxpayers, he's in a job. See, if he can't do the job, let somebody else do it then. You know what I mean?
Because he doesn't talk to the Nolan Show, to be fair to him, doesn't mean he can't do the job, and John's an experienced politician. He's been around a long time.
It's us, the ordinary people on the ground, who are suffering here. And it looks as if those people aren't in touch with reality. I heard your man, Conway, who runs TransLink, saying we're trying to put people on buses,
Chris Conway.
Chris Conway. But one thing, Stephen, I would like to know, see these people, these ministers and such things, how do they get to work? Do they get the bus? Do they get on the glider? No, they don't. The drivers, are they driving themselves? So why should they be able to do it and yet turn around the other people and say, we need to take you out of the car, we need to put you on the bus? I pay enough money for my car, I pay enough duty for my car, and I have a human right to choose how I live my life.
John Anderson's joining us, Vice Chair of the Ulster Architectural Heritage. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, Stephen. Yes,
good morning.
Just a very small bit of context. Our problem with this is the demolition of the Art Deco Boyne Bridge, but that's another story for another day. This brings us into contact with planning, and we look at all the documents. I'll read you out a short passage here from the planning approval, and you need to realise that the station was not approved by Belfast City Council. It was approved by DFI Strategic Planning. And I'll read you what this says, and I can send you it if you wish. The proposal will cause major disruption to the surrounding road network during the 65-month construction period. And then at a later stage, and this is where we come into the Boyne Bridge, Durham Street, and Pat there was talking about the Grosvenor Road, Durham Street will have to be closed for a period of up to 16 months to facilitate demolition of the Boyne Bridge. Now, you talked about a plan. That is a plan. But aside from that plan, there are other factors. Belfast City Council have decided to promote student accommodation in Belfast. That's fine. But did they look at how many students have cars and where those cars are going to be parked? Plus the fact,
hello. All right, he's just dropped off there.
Here's caller.
Sorry, John, your signal's blocking out. Let me bring in Mark. Lots of people calling us this morning, and thank you, John, for that. Morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I have made a reserve in Belfast there about a week and a half ago. And it took me the guts of, I don't know exactly the time, but it was at least half an hour to travel the length of Great Victoria Street near enough. Now, that should only take you 5-10 minutes. Really, you know what I mean? And I made the decision then, Christmas shopping this year is being done on the internet. Christmas is stressful enough, and you have kids and all, and you take them in, and you have the gun and that, and you're trying to keep holding them in the crowds and all the rest of it, and she's trying to get down through it. It'll just be a nightmare. It'll just be a nightmare. Now, I hope at the end of this all, did I hear a guy saying there that he's works were going on for 65 weeks.
Is that what you're telling us, John?
Yeah, I'm not going into Belfast again. know what I mean, until all this work and all those is all stopped. You know what I mean?
But there are people that don't have a choice. This is the point that I'm trying to convey this morning.
Yeah.
This is not about somebody deciding whether they're going to go for a cup of tea in Belfast City Centre and a wee bun, right? And that is important to those local businesses who are selling that stuff. Yep. I'm not diminishing that. But this is also about people who do not have a choice. They're travelling throughout that area to go and work in our hospitals, our doctor's surgeries. They're travelling throughout that area to get to lots of different pensioners on a care plan. Who are local domiciliary care workers are looking after, who is going to take a grip on this and realise? Like, do they realise in Stormont how chaotic it is, how many people are having their heads put in by this, sitting in cars, who don't have the time to sit in this level of traffic?
That's crazy. They're
going to be forced to get a bus in the middle of this, are there enough buses on time that can get people from A to B, because there aren't enough trains, because the trains aren't running?
Stephen,
so what do they expect people to do?
Nothing can be on time running through those roadworks, man. Nothing can be on time running through. I mean, have you been down through it yourself at all? Have you actually been down through it yourself? Have you experienced it actually for yourself firsthand?
I avoid it.
I have experienced it.
I missed a couple of things the other day because I could not. I'll tell you what time it was at, right? It was at 8:30 at night.
The roads
were usually clear and they were gridlocked in the area I was driving in. 8:30 at night.
Well, see, what I was thinking was, if I'm one person that's making the decision not to do Christmas shopping in Belfast City Centre, and I'm one person doing that, how many other people are going to do that, and how much is that going to affect the trade of Belfast City Centre, especially the way independent shops and all?
Political parties, it's part of the business of being in politics. Political parties try to be popular. And in order to be popular, they need to connect with what is actually affecting people's lives. Do those political parties realise that if any of them actually spoke out about a plan, I get the plan to put people on the public transport, of course, and you're encouraged to get a bus, you can't get a train in some of these areas because they aren't running yet. So I get the public transport initiative. But for those people who need to travel in a car, are political parties realising that if they connected with the public about this issue, they might actually win some friends and votes? And people thinking, well, at least they get it.
Honesty is what they need, Stephen. Honesty, just to be straight up front and be honest with the people and just, you know what I mean? But it's a terrible state of affairs. Something needs done about it. I mean, it needs reorganised or something, the traffic lights at least sequenced or something, do you know what I mean? Because it's absolutely terrible. It is. And I was shocked to hear that it's going to go on for over a year.
Norman's next. Morning, Norman.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, anything in this country touches turns into a crisis. When I was driving around Belfast, before the bus lanes were even introduced, there was never a problem getting around Belfast. Now you're restricting traffic to one lane. It's time to open up the bus lanes and cycle lanes and let the traffic start moving. Next week, I have an appointment at a hospital at Balmoral at 11 o'clock in the morning. I can't take a chance on taking a train to Lanyon Place, getting off, getting a shuttle bus, and then joining this chaos that's in Belfast. I'm going to take my own car and go the back roads. And I wouldn't go in the Belfast shopping, Stephen, at Christmas. I can go to the shopping centres here in Bangor without any hassle. They need to open up these bus lanes and let the traffic start moving.
I want to give you all some figures around the bus lane. And we go back to 2011 for this. So in 2011, more than half of the vehicles in the city centre, it was 53%, were private cars, right?
Right.
So that's 2011. The new bus lanes came in 2012, and the objective was to drive people out of cars into public transport. And we're talking about protecting the environment here. Now, there was a drop in the number of cars the year after the bus lanes were introduced. It went down from 53% to 47%. So the bus lanes, you could argue, that there was a degree of success in terms of the public responsibility to encourage people to get into public transport. Here's the rub. No, hold on. This is really important. So there was an initial gain from the bus lanes. You should all know that the latest figures for 2023 show that private vehicles, including taxis in the city centre, it's back up at 50%. So all of these bus lanes that you're all not allowed to drive in, there's been actually very little percentage change of the number of private vehicles between 2013 and 2023. Now, Brian, you're with the Green Party, and you want to protect the environment. But for all of those people that are gridlocked in traffic, they can't drive in a bus lane, and yet it is not reducing the number of private cars on the roads.
But Stephen, I think there's a wider question here. We have never really invested in public transport. I think that there's a statistic for every £1 invested in transport and in infrastructure in other parts of the UK, England, Scotland, Wales, we've only spent 27p per pound compared to other regions in the UK. I think a lot of the issues here go back, they're decades long, we have not invested, and we're now dealing with the brunt of this. I think to say that, I am in a party, and I make no apologies for it, I'm in a party that says we need bus lanes, and I understand where Norman's coming from, but if we just open up the bus lanes...
Well, do you not need bus lanes when there are enough buses to provide the public transport network so that people will get out of their cars? They're not getting out of their cars.
But if you close those bus lanes, say, for example, on the Armour Road in Lisburn, they're going to fill up with cars. The more road space you open for cars, the more cars come on it, the further the gridlock gets worse.
Chris Souter is a very vocal advocate of Belfast City Centre and the changes that need to be made. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
With that chaos that there is, just trying to get into the city centre, what do you think are going to be the implications for businesses in the city centre? Who would travel through that at Christmas? How are they going to travel through it?
Well, Stephen, look, I do echo Brian's sentiments that we do need to keep our minds on a fit-for-purpose public transport system. It is the answer, and it's the only answer. Coming up to Christmas, this is going to be a bit of a nightmare, Stephen. As you know, I'm a city centre business. I'm actually underneath a big car park, and the car parks are actually struggling for space at the minute, which is good for the car parks, but that's not good for things long-term, Stephen. We need people out of the cars and into the buses, into the taxis, and there was a guy that you had on earlier on there talking about the taxi ranks. I feel for the taxi guys. Stephen, I speak
to
them
Pat,
all the time.
He's still with us, I think.
Yeah, Pat, I feel for the guys. Pat, I agree. It does look as if the department is just beating you guys with a big stick, and no one is addressing that issue. That is, our taxi service is on its knees. And, you know, that the taxi service is a big, huge part of public transport over here. And I do think somebody needs to take charge, Stephen. Somebody needs to sort it. Certainly the congestion around Belfast City Centre at the minute is a nightmare. And I am having certain people give me a ring saying, Chris, what's it like out there? And I'm almost telling them sometimes, Stephen, which is bad for business, don't come in, because if you come in, you're not going to get in. So we can't have that. We need
If you do get in and you need to get home to look after the kids or looking after your mum or dad or whatever it is
you're not
going to
get out.
The responsibilities, how are you getting out within any type of predictable time?
Well, Stephen, I live in...
Is storm a clock in this? Is the executive... These politicians live with us, are among us. What can they do about this? Because it's driving people crazy.
It really is. I only live on the outskirts of Belfast, Stephen. It's even taken me 45 to 50 minutes to get home some night, which is still not bad in the grand scheme of things. It's not the end of the world, really. But, you know, my commute home used to be 20, 25 minutes. So that just goes to show, for people that live even further out in Belfast, it's just going to put them off coming to town, Stephen. So, yeah, we need something done quickly. But, look, I've got the taxi boys back. That needs sorted out. And I'm with Brian too. We need to keep pushing the button on public transport. It needs to be better. Somebody,
is it reliable,
Stephen, I always say,
in the middle
Stephen,
of all of this? So
here,
should we be telling people, get a bus? Is it reliable in the middle of this chaos?
I think it's still reliable enough. And the glider system is great, Stephen. So please, let's champion that. But I think, as I always say, Stephen, somebody just needs to take charge of this wee country. Somebody needs to stand up, be counted and take charge.
Okay. Listen, thanks, everyone. Thanks for talking to us today. I became Australian there for a word or two. Thank you very much for your company all week. Not going anywhere, though. I'm on 5 Live tonight at 10 o'clock, when we'll be talking about the issues affecting the UK and the world on 5 Live. We'll see you back here on Monday morning. Thanks for your company. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
The biggest show in the country. Listen again on BBC Sounds. Tweet at Stephen Nolan.
I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story Podcast, where we're looking at America's role as a world's leading superpower. The job of U.S. president is one which has great impact beyond its own borders. But Donald Trump and Kamala Harris have very different ideas about the role of the U.S. abroad. What is America's place in the world today? And how would Trump and Harris shape that role? The Global Story. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.